This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome inside WOKV Jaguars Central. Time for our first regular season edition of Jaguars This Week. I'm Brian Sexton, joined by Jeff Lagerman, the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman, and our executive producer, Joe Fortunato. You can join us also, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, the number here inside the studio. Also, if you're outside of our calling area, listening over the internet at WOKV.com, it's 800-355-NFL-1. I have a new card in my stack. Can I read it real quick and get your comment on it? It says, fans, here's your chance to get free Jaguars merchandise. Just make JaguarsSearch.com your new online search engine. Are you Bill Gates all of a sudden? You've got your own search engine now? Every search is a chance to win digital dollars that can be redeemed for great prizes. It's just that easy. JaguarsSearch.com.
Free.
Well, free's for me, but what's this?
I don't know. I don't own the thing. I just write for it.
Oh, you're expanding your web presence, Jay.
What do we do?
I'm going to look it up as soon as we go. But I guess it's a search engine, kind of like, you know, Google spent millions on theirs.
Yeah. Well, I spent all day on, you know, wiring that search engine up. I have lots of free Jaguars merchandise, by the way. I got whole drawers and drawers full.
They just jump it on.
I got it back from the Coughlin years. You know,
what do you do with it?
I don't know.
That's an old logo. You better not pull that out.
That's right. I can't wear that.
No. The new tags make their debut on Sunday in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Field. I was hoping...
The new tags?
Togs. What do you call it?
Uniforms.
Uniforms. It's logo. Sling. What do you call it?
Well, what do you mean?
Whatever.
What do you
Let's
mean
start
new?
Over.
What do you mean new? We've already seen them, right? We're not getting other new uniforms.
No. I mean, but the rest of the country hasn't really seen them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, they saw him in Philadelphia.
I like the new uniforms. I do. I especially like the teal jersey and white pants combination and the new helmets. I think they're really cool looking. I'm not crazy. Here's what I'm not crazy about. I'm not crazy about the road uniform because where's the teal? I see black pants. They're still looking, you know, they're still wearing their first Holy Communion outfits. You know?
White tops. Black pants.
Yeah, where's the teal? I thought this was a teal team, but
are we going to talk about fashion today?
No.
Vic Ketchman is big in fashion. Somebody record this.
It's not fashion. It's colors. Colors. This is a teal team. I love the home uniforms.
No. Vic Ketchman.
I'm not talking stripes.
Is talking fashion.
You don't like the stripes, though, do you? You're not crazy about it.
Well, I don't like the little S curve on the pants. It's kind of, you know, for me, you know, I don't. It's a little soft. But hey,
that's fashion talk.
I want the teal, is what I want. Where is the teal?
Sounds like a slogan to me.
Hmm?
I love the home uniform jersey. I think that teal jersey and the white pants is really sharp.
All right, I didn't mean to get off on that. I was just going to say that they make their debut in the regular season. At Lucas Oil Field on Sunday.
House of Peyton built.
And it looks like
it is.
It looks like the roof is going to be closed because there's a chance of rain. Remember, they have no crown on the field?
We haven't seen it open yet.
No. If there's any chance of rain, they do not open it.
Well, it depends. They'll ask Peyton on Sunday morning.
No. Ask Bill Polian. Sunday morning.
They'll get a wake-up call. Oh, Peyton, this is Bill... how would you like the roof today?
That's a shot.
You betcha. Oh, you want it open?
You
want it closed? Oh, okay, we won't open it.
You always have a little spunk in your step when it comes to Bill Polian in the week that you get to see him.
I like Coach Polian.
You guys are long lost buddies.
I like Coach
Polian. Fess up, will you?
He's a good Irishman. The other guy, you know, I'm not crazy about him.
Who, Peyton?
Peyton, yeah.
Yeah, well, we know that.
But third you and two.
here we go. Here we go.
Down he goes.
Here's the forecast for Sunday. By the way, when we arrive on Saturday, 80, sunny. Saturday night, cloudy and 60. Sunday, 30% chance of thunderstorms.
Open the roof. Come on.
Well, you know, it was bright and sunny last year, and they didn't open it because, if you remember, there were thunderstorms possible north of Indianapolis that could drift over. There's no crown on the field, so there's no drainage.
True.
So we're going to the mill.
Going to the what?
The mill.
What's the mill?
It looks like a steel mill.
It does. I will say that from the outside,
especially with the roof opening,
not to get into a fashion architectural thing here.
Uh-oh, here we go again. Yeah.
But it is not a very impressive stadium from the outside.
It looks like Butler Fieldhouse. That's the thing.
It looks
like a basketball arena. And I guess I admire it because I'm a college basketball guy. So it kind of stands out to me.
It does look like Butler Fieldhouse from the outside.
No, I mean, Indiana is known as a basketball, the Hoosier State, right? Basketball.
As soon as I saw it, I said, that looks like the steel mill in my hometown.
When the roof would open and let all the steam out.
Yeah, I mean, and the roof and those things open up and they let all the smoke out, you know, when everyone goes to bed and they're not looking. Seriously, they do. Or they did. But it has that look to it. Inside, it is lovely.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's really sweet inside.
Beautiful stadium. Mm-hmm. And very loud when the roof is closed.
Not as loud as the other one.
But it almost has a sterile feel to it.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
And I don't know why.
You know, when they get the speakers, I don't think they've had the speakers connected yet. When they get the sound system connected like they did in the RCA dome.
Now we're talking Colts Week, folks.
I don't think they got that done.
What did Bill Polian do to you? Come on, Vic. It's time to be honest.
No, he's not a good guy.
It's time to be honest.
I'm
not saying
he
is. You
almost punched the guy in New England.
I'm just saying that somewhere in your past, you have had a path that has gone awry with Bill Polian. Okay? When was that moment and what happened?
There was no moment. He's just... He's a little overbearing.
A little?
Plus something else. This past year, he fired one of my really good friends, and I didn't like that either.
A person that a lot of people in Jacksonville know, John Osher.
Yeah, but your axe has been grinding a lot longer than a year.
Yeah, I ground a little more this past year. Move on. Next topic.
All right. You know, next topic is a break. Let's take it. We'll come back and we'll talk some football. We've gotten off onto everything else. You can join us. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351 on Jaguars This Week. Presented by Aetna and only on News Talk Radio. WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now back to Jaguars This Week. Presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy in the St. Johnstown Center. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato. Phone lines are lit. Promise we'll get right to them. Injury report first. Zach Miller did not practice today. Neither did Trey Thomas for the Jaguars. Colts report Bob Sanders. Tom Santee, who's a young tight end, and a defensive back, Jamie Silva, were also non-participants at practice today. So they've got till game time to declare they're inactive, so we will wait for more. Bob Sanders not likely to play. Zach Miller not likely to play for the Jaguars.
No, they were considering, I guess, putting Bob Sanders on PUP, which would have taken him out 6 games automatically. But
did he not practice in training camp at any time?
I don't know. But
he never he did not. They
from what I understand, he didn't do much, if anything, in training camp.
Well, no, he can't have so much as blown his nose in a practice at any training camp practice. Did he?
He was eligible to be on PUP, or they put him on PUP before practice began, and they took him off?
So he went on PUP before training camp began? Or he's not on PUP?
He's not on PUP right now.
If he's not on PUP right now, then he can't go there.
Their release was that they activated him to the active roster. So he had been on PUP.
Well, I don't know then if he can go back or not. Maybe. No, he can't go back.
No. Once he's on the active roster, he cannot go back on PUP.
He's not
going to play.
That roster spot is gone now.
He's not likely to be active for at least a month, is what they're saying. But they thought he might be back by week five. So rather than have to wait till week seven to get him back, they put him on the active roster.
That's great news if you're a Dirk Cutter.
You know,
run the mill, baby.
Yeah, for as much as we're going to talk about the Jaguars in the passing game, because we've got some callers on the line, and again, we will get there. When you look at this defense, they're bigger with guys like Daniel Murr and Johnson, both over 300 pounds, but they don't have Bob Sanders in the middle. And Gary Brackett's still 230 pounds, you know, and very short.
Yeah, and just a little quick note, I watched a little bit of their tape, and, you know, it's preseason, so, I mean, it's not like you can get a real accurate gauge off of preseason. They have a new defensive coordinator, Larry Coyer, who actually first came into the National Football League in 2004. And he was hired as the New York Jets defensive line coach when Pete Carroll was promoted to head coach. And then the Jets defensive line coach, Greg Robinson, went to defensive coordinator. So Larry was my coach way back then. That would have been 1994. And so he's kind of comes from that Pete Carroll, Greg Robinson mold of defensive style. But some of the stuff he was running in the preseason didn't exactly look like it was a defense designed to stop the run. So it's going to be real interesting to see what he rolls out because, you know, if you're a new coordinator, just like Mel Tucker here, and we're trying to figure out what are the Jaguars going to be? Are they going to be 4-3 or are they going to be 3-4? Why would you want to show what your package is going to be in the preseason? So a little bit of unknown going into this game for Dirk Cutter.
Just an interesting side note. Jim Caldwell, the new coach of the Colts, played at the University of Iowa back in the early to mid-1970s. His defensive coordinator?
Larry Coyer.
Larry Coyer. So he played for him, and now Coyer
And then Larry actually worked for him at Wake Forest.
Okay.
So you've got a connection there.
Are they, and I know you said that you're not going to see their whole package in the preseason, but are they still that Tampa 2 team?
No.
That, oh, they're not.
No, they've changed it up a little bit. And Larry, if you go back to Larry's time as an NFL defensive coordinator, was with the Denver Broncos. He succeeded Greg Robinson when Greg Robinson was fired, and then Larry was fired. You know, Mike Shanahan and defensive coaches, you know, don't really seem to work well together. But Larry's defenses in Denver were nothing to rave about. So obviously, you got a history there between head coach and the defensive coordinator, but what is this defense going to look like? I don't know, but in the preseason, they didn't look all that good.
I would think this would be a good week to run the ball. Always has been against Peyton.
Well, yeah, you're always going to do that because of Peyton, you know, but
just because of their defense.
Well, you do it for two reasons. Keep Peyton Manning on the sideline, and then you also kind of nullify Mathis and Freeney, and you're going to be going into the game with two rookie tackles possibly. You know, you expect to see Evan and not sure Trey Thomas did not practice today according to the injury report. And so, I mean, we expect Eugene Monroe to be the starter. So it's a heck of a lot easier to run block against those guys than it is to pass block.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab a couple of phone calls. We'll go with Terry on the south side to start the program off. Hello, Terry.
Hey, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Good. Good.
All right. My question is, being that it is Colts week, last season we had problems with Mr. Nelson at the safety spot, and a lot of times it made Rasheen look pretty bad because basically he was trying to cover for him. Is there a way they're going to adjust for that, like with the new guy Alexander, and maybe because I always thought being a Gator fan that he could play corner pretty well too. Would they even consider putting him in the slot, letting him do some covers? Because back there sometimes he tends to freelance. And, well, Vic, me being from Melbourne down there, you know, my cousin Tyrone, We got to see him, and he liked the freelance. So I think Alexander would probably be better in passing situations because you know he's going to be where he's supposed to be. What do you guys think about that?
I'm lost.
I'll say that.
I don't know what you said.
I'll say this, okay? It's the concern with Reggie's performance. One thing is very clear. In the offseason, you went out there and you signed Marlon McCree. You signed traded for Gerald Alexander, you signed Sean Considine, and now you've picked up Brian Russell. What is that saying?
It says they're not real confident.
Yeah, is it in Reggie Nelson or is it in Sean Considine?
No, they're not real confident in Reggie Nelson.
So
news
one more patty cake job down the sideline, and it's bye-bye time.
He's on real thin ice. I think you'd have to be really stupid not to know that.
I think Vic is right. But one thing, though, that the point that you brought up, and I believe it was Terry. Terry, you talk about Reggie Nelson playing on the slot. You don't have Brian Williams, who was your starting nickel in the preseason, so it'll be interesting to see what type of role Reggie has and who's fills that role of nickelback when they go to that package. But just another quick note, the Colts have really gotten away from three wide receiver packages. They're really two tight end, two wideouts. Now, they've only got four wide receivers on their active roster, period. That's it. So it'll be interesting to see how they match up when Dallas Clark really moves out to become that third wideout.
If I heard him correctly, the caller is suggesting that Gerald Alexander be brought into the game for passing situations. Is that because Reggie is so good supporting against the run? I mean, if you're going to bring Gerald Alexander in on passing situations, you might as well just leave him in for running situations too, right? I mean, isn't passing situations supposed to be Reggie Nelson's strength? Isn't that supposed to be the thing that he does best? Defend against the pass?
Go get the ball.
Am I right?
That's what he kind of was known for coming out of college.
I mean, the rap on him was he ain't going to stick his nose in. You know, he wasn't a physical player. That was the rap on him. So, I mean, if he can't defend against the pass, then I think it becomes painfully obvious what we're heading for.
Could be.
First round
pick. Reggie has to play well.
Yeah, I mean, it's time. He's a first-round pick. You know, it's a pick that they used on him instead of Brady Quinn, who has been named a starter in Cleveland. And
did Mangini release that yet?
Yeah, the Cleveland Plain Dealer did.
Oh.
And I'd be more apt to believe the Plain Dealer than Mangini.
Yeah, based on his reputation. All right, we move along. Gary's out at the beach. Hello, Gary.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight, gentlemen?
Good.
I know I just want to get my question in and out of the way there, but y'all talking about uniforms a while ago. Why did they do away with the cat logo on the sleeve? As like, you know, they're trying to identify, you know, who the Jaguars are. Well, now you don't know. You see a teal jersey or a green in some cases, people want to call it that, and there's no cat logo, nothing to show that it's a Jaguar. Other than
Vic,
the helmet.
Fashion expert. Well,
I'm sorry I even brought it up.
They wanted to standardize their identity.
Gary, look at the helmet.
I don't know. There's nothing to say. I like it. Yeah. You know, if no cat logo makes them play well, then I'm all for it.
Spoken by Yves Saint Laurent.
No. That's your role.
Moving right along, folks.
I did like the cat logo on the side, though.
Tony's also at the beach. Hello, Tony.
Hey, guys. All my questions are about Troy Williamson. Is he a good route runner? And where does he fall in the hierarchy? And the last question would be, do you guys think he has improved his catching ability? And I'd like to take those questions off the air. Thanks, guys.
I think he's a very good route runner, and I think Todd Monken, the wide receivers coach, is an excellent coach. To be able to handle what he handled for the last couple of years, Todd Monken should have gotten a little bit of a bonus there. But I think he does a great job. I think Troy is definitely evolving his game. He's looked fantastic in the preseason. Is his route running ability, his strength? I mean, it's obviously part of any wide receiver's game, but Troy's greatest weapon is his speed. And that's what they want to have him be, is a great speed guy.
Todd Monken was put into a situation where it would be like being a figure skating coach and being given Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. All right, it ain't gonna work. It's not gonna work. One is gonna get hurt.
Is Gullily on that team too?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't gonna work. I mean,
because there was three, right?
What a bunch of characters he had. You know, he had one guy that he couldn't see the ball for the gloves draped from his face mask. You know,
right, at the break, we are going to decide which one of those three is.
And the other one, his eyeballs were spinning from the last time. You know, he did a post catch celebration.
And which one is Kerrigan? We know who Gullily is. We'll take the break and return after the news here at the bottom of the hour, folks. You're listening to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Well, if you want all the inside information on the Jaguars, log on to jaguars.com/connect and join the Jaguars Twitter and Facebook groups.
Boy, yeah,
it's a different world.
And you can ask a question via Twitter of us to be answered on the air on Wednesday nights, and I think it's also going to be questions that will be answered on the Monday night television show, the Monday night Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman. And Vic, you know, I went to Twitter, you know, to see what the latest tweet is from Vic Ketchman.
Jeffrey,
where in the heck have you been? The last tweet that you got there is September 7th.
I tend to tweet in
at noon. What's the date today?
I tend to. It was Monday. It was Labor Day. I had nothing to do, so I tweeted.
Today's the.
I was at work and nobody else was, and all I could do was tweet.
All right. So anyway, we got a question of the day, okay, from the tweeting folks, and the question is this: at the end of the season, who do we expect the Jaguars' number one wide receiver to be?
Oh, it's a great question.
It is a great question.
Nate Hughes.
Let me think on this one. And is this catches or yards or just impact? I mean, just
the guy that you know going forward is going to be the guy.
Well, all indications are that Mike Walker is headed. I'm going to say Mike Walker.
You're going to go with Mike? Okay, Brian?
I'm going to go with Nate Hughes.
Nate Hughes, I like that.
I like that pick, too. I want to make that pick.
I was super impressed.
No,
with
I'm sticking with Mike.
And I'm
going
to
have a smirk on your
You're going to stick with Mike.
I'm going to tell you who's going to get really mad at me. I hope he's not listening to this show.
I'm going to go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's not going to be happy.
And I'm going to go Troy Williamson because I think with speed like that, he's a game changer. But now here's the dilemma that we faced. You know, Nate Hughes, Mike Sims-Walker, Troy Williamson, no Torrey Holt.
Okay. What was your original question?
Season.
You said number one.
Forward.
What was your question? Number
By
one.
The end of the season. Yeah. Who do we expect to be the Jaguars' number one wide receiver?
Okay,
as far as impact,
you didn't say going forward. You just number one wide receiver. Period.
Yeah, at the end of the year.
Okay, I'm changing. I'm going to Holt. he's a good guy in the locker room, man. I can't lose him. He's good,
Well, if that's the criteria, if it's just this year, I thought we were in that rebuild.
By the
mode.
End of the year, who would be the number one go-to guy?
But we're talking. Okay.
I'm going to stick with Mike Walker because I think he had a little bit of a breakout game against the Redskins. I know it's a preseason game, but he for the first time in a game, he showed what he has shown us on the practice field.
Right.
All right, for the first time in any kind of a game, and forget that Pittsburgh game last year, he made a couple sideline catches. It was nothing great. What he did against the Redskins was great stuff. That's what he's been showing us on the practice field. I think he might be ready to go.
All right, well, I said Nate Hughes because I thought the question was more geared towards whose arrow is pointing up at the end of this year because that's how we're evaluating this team, right?
I agree.
And I think Nate Hughes is a guy who's most likely for people to say, look at that guy.
And that's why I didn't say Torrey Holt because I think...
He's in his 11th season.
He's in his 11th year, and I hope he's not listening. I really like the guy.
Yeah. He talks on Wednesdays at 12:30, which means you won't talk to him again until next Wednesday.
But along those lines, if you're the Jaguars this week and you're Dirk Cutter, okay, and you're obviously wanting to keep Peyton Manning off the field,
yeah,
the Colts have issues at cornerback.
Yes, they do. They have issues in the middle of the field, too.
One of them's coming back from a knee. He's expected to not be a starter. And the other one did not play in the entire preseason with a hamstring. So isn't that kind of a, to use a big word like you, Vic, conundrum?
That's a conundrum.
Is that a conundrum?
C-U-N-U-N-D-R-U-M.
Is that a proper usage of
yes,
that
it
word?
Yes, in other words, how do I want to beat them? Throwing the ball or running ball? It's a terrible problem. Here's what I say. Jaguars throw 30 or more, they lose. They throw 29 or fewer, they win. That's the balance I'm looking for.
You're talking all season long or are you talking Sunday?
Sunday. You have to keep them guessing because they're not good enough to play you straight. They've got to load up against one or the other. In my opinion, if you can, whatever the balance is, 30-30, or I like to use 30 as a cutoff. 30 or more is too much passing. Actually, it's like 35 or more is too much passing. But anyhow, you get the point. If they can have, if they can really get a good balance between run and pass, then they'll keep them guessing, especially if it's a, you know, if they can't read it down in distance. If they can keep them guessing, the Colts can't load up on one, and if they can't load up on one, they can't stop either.
So
that's my
spell conundrum for me again.
CUNUNDRUM.
Well, okay.
And look now, if Hayden and Jackson can't play a whole lot, you're talking about 5'9" TJ rushing and 5'8" Tim Jennings, and
yeah, Tim Jennings is real small.
Yeah, he's not a big guy at all. So you're going to have a major advantage running to the outside.
How tall?
5'8"?
That's not tall.
No, he's not big at all. So anyway, 355-NFL1, 355-6351 if you'd like to jump on the program. And we'll go with Lucas, who joins us from Orange Park. Hello, Lucas.
Hey, how are you doing?
Outstanding.
I just got a small little question. With Eugene Monroe starting left tackle, even Braden starting right tackle, where does that put the Pro Bowler Trey Thomas at?
Trey is going to be support personnel. He's going to be on the bench.
They wouldn't consider moving him to guard.
He might even be deactivated on Sunday. I mean, he didn't practice today, so I mean, we have to consider that he might even be deactivated.
He is certainly not a guard.
What's he appear on the injury report as? Back?
Did not practice back.
Okay, I mean, he's got a back. I got a back. It goes down the leg. It's not good.
It's going down his leg?
I don't know if it's going down his leg, but I know it goes down my leg, and it feels bad, and he's an old man, and it's probably going down his leg, too. He's been nursing his back since the second week of training camp. You've seen it.
Yes.
The guy, there's a limp in there, too, and that probably tells me it's going down his leg.
I think it's the best thing. I mean, let the young guys play. Just put them out there. But I'm gonna give them a little warning, and I know they're not listening. This is a much different game than what you've seen so far. Come Sunday.
You mean regular season, or you mean regular season and Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis?
Both. I mean, the skill level just goes through the roof from what they have seen in the preseason so far, and the intensity goes up. It's a much different game in a regular season compared to the preseason, and it's the same thing when you go to the playoffs.
Dwight Freeney was rather vocal today on the conference call. He was talking about intimidation factor, that there's no way that the Jaguars will put the rookie tackle out on an island by himself. He won't be one-on-one with Freeney. You know, he said he's the best defensive end of the game. It's hard to argue with him. He's really good.
The one good thing I think that's going to help Eugene in that matchup is that Eugene in the preseason so far has struggled with power. Dwight Freeney is not a power guy.
Okay, so he walked Khalif Barnes right back into David on that final play last December.
He did, but that's not his game. His game is speed and quickness, and Eugene, I think, deals with that in a very strong sense. But if Dwight Freeney does, you know, put the horns on and lower them, Eugene better sit down pretty quick because he can be strong.
How about Britton on the other side with Mathis? I mean, we're talking a 245-pound speed demon around the end.
Yeah, and who has been better than Freeney the last 2 years, I think. Numbers-wise,
Mathis had
11.5.
Yeah, 11.5 to 10.5 last year.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's a great player, and he's small. You know, what is he, 6'2"?
245.
The guy plays like he's 6'6", you know, 280 pounds. He's a heck of a football player. So it'll be interesting to watch those matchups. And if I'm CBS and Solomon Wilcots, who's calling the game with who's the play-by-play guy?
My buddy Kevin Harlan.
Kevin, I'm telling our guys, hey, look, we need cameras on those matchups all day long.
No question.
That's going to be a marquee matchup feature of that ball game.
Since we're on the offensive line, before we take a break, Uche Nwaneri is listed as the starting right guard. You've got Mo Williams, who's played that spot, and then this week they go grab Keenan Forney, who was part of that Falcons offensive line when they were so dominant running the football. I think he was a Pro Bowl alternate a few years ago.
He's a good player in Atlanta.
All right, so who's the starting right guard? If not this week, how long does it take Forney or Williams to replace Nwaneri?
I don't know. I mean, that's going to be all up to Uche. You know, how well does he play if he does, in fact, start?
He didn't play very well at all in the preseason.
He struggled. He had a couple mental errors, and he had a couple physical errors. Just the awareness of where his help comes from at times is not there. But he needs to play well to keep that job, because if he doesn't play well, then Mo Williams will be inserted in that game. It's not one of those situations where I don't think they'd have the patience if he has a couple errors in that game to say, you know, it's okay, we'll let you work through it. If he has a couple errors, it's going to be Mo, you're in.
All right, folks, we need a break as we go. Jaguars fans, you can vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. All part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for the details. And we're back after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Hey, we were corrected at the break by a very knowledgeable source. Mo Williams is the starter at right guard. There was that battle during training camp.
Well, you know, they never put the depth chart out until the last possible minute.
Right.
And it's interesting to me that how they have it set up. If you look at it, the starting guard, Mo Williams, the backup right guard on the Jaguars.com depth chart is Keenan Forney.
I was just going to say, this is a major setback for Uche. This is a major setback. When a young player has been ousted by a guy they had figured would be their swingman, their tackle in an emergency, their guard in an emergency, their center in an emergency, which is what Mo, that's what his role was supposed to be this year. Uche was supposed to win that job. I mean, they wanted to give it to him, but they couldn't give it to him because they wanted him to win it. And he was unable to win it, and this is a major setback for him, because when a guy in that situation, a young guy like that, when they bring in Keenan Forney, they didn't bring Keenan Forney in to replace Mo Williams.
They brought him in to compete for the starting job.
Yeah.
Or they gave him Chris Naoli's number.
Yeah, Keenan Forney was brought in here because of disappointment in Uche, not disappointment in Mo Williams.
And Forney and Manawai were teammates, you know that, at Hawaii.
Pretty good tandem.
Yeah. And I'm told that one of the reasons Forney's here is because Manawai.
They had another guy at Hawaii at that time who was a tackle.
Wayne Hunter.
That's who it was.
He was here. He had a domestic abuse problem, and it really was unfortunate. It was a couple incidents. He was in anger management and all that. I really liked him. I talked to him. He really, really good guy that just, you know, he had one of those problems. And don't give me that look. Now I'm being serious.
You're sounding compassionate to a guy who had domestic issues.
He was trying. It got the better of him a couple times. You know.
Have you read Ask Vic today?
I have not.
Oh, at the break.
I went to read Vic's tweet, but
it wasn't there. You need to when you read the long paragraph question to Ask Vic, you will understand where his compassion is coming from. Let's grab Kevin out on 9A. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
You tell us. How are you?
Good. I'm right here at the turn at the bend in 9A where it gets to Phillips Highway, and I'm just redoing the Go Jags in the grass.
I know where that is.
I hope it looks all right. I'm just telling everybody out there to support the movement. There's going to be some Jaguar fans around town tomorrow holding up signs, trying to get people to support the team and get some tickets out. So I'm just throwing some props out there to those guys, and y'all have a good show.
Hey, Kevin, do you have it done?
No, it's almost done right now. I just got to do the exclamation point.
Are you looking at it right now?
I am standing on top of it with my Jaguar flag.
Okay. Spell it back to me, if you would.
Go Jags.
I mean, no. I got to.
Just want to make sure you got it spelled right.
Okay.
G-O-J-A-G-S. Exclamation point.
Now, let me ask you this, because for those that haven't seen it, okay, is this carved in grass? So you're cutting the grass to make it say "Go Jags"?
It's cool.
Yes, I am weed eating the grass.
Oh man, I'm gonna go by and check it out.
Awesome.
Hey, why is that embankment there? Can anybody tell me?
It holds up the bridge.
No, there's no bridge. It's like they were going. Oops.
Well,
we have to go back to the right.
It's where they're gonna put 9B in the future.
That's the explanation I've been looking for years as I drive south.
Where's 9B? Where's that gun?
That's
going down to St. John's County. Down to Phillips in 95.
Kevin, by the way, I think what you're doing is great.
I do, too.
Thanks for calling, Kev.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the phone call.
That's good stuff. That's what passion is all about.
I went by it all last year. I always looked at it. It's cool.
Maybe what we need is people with lawnmowers randomly carving that into people's lawns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just not mine.
Well,
just spell it right. You know. Just spell it right.
Yeah, just go by. You know, do you have your tickets?
I think it'd be a great idea.
No, you don't want to spell it. Go G-A-G-S. Go Gags. You know? I mean, you just want to make sure you got a J in
there. Vic, what have you taken today? Because the glass is half full today, clearly. What's going on?
I just took a pain pill.
I knew something was up.
Whatever works for you.
Back hurts bad, man.
I was wondering what's going on with you today because something's just not right.
We got about 3 minutes left here in this segment before we break for news at the top of the hour. Just a quick thought. You know, we didn't touch on this much last week. Jordan Black signed the extension. Thoughts on Jordan Black? I mean, is that an admission that Trey Thomas is probably going to have trouble all year long with the back?
Yeah, Trey Thomas, the second week of training camp, it started with the back. And this is, you know, someone who has had back problems for years, surgeries, the whole bit. You know, I know the danger signals. I know what to look for. They would be doing a drill, and then all of a sudden, the trainer would come in the middle of the drill, and up would go the shirt, and he'd bend over, and they'd start working on the back with the creams and all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, that's a guy who's fighting it. He's trying to, you know, he's trying to get another year out of his career and give this team the help that he said he would be able to give it. Now, I'll bet you it ain't going to work. I mean, these things have a way of not going away. And I hope I'm wrong, but my guess is that extending Jordan Black is the smoking gun.
Right? Well, Jordan Black had a good camp. Mm-hmm. He had a very good camp, especially before Eugene got here, and he was getting a lot of reps at left tackle. He had a very strong camp.
In retrospect, when you look back, you see Trey's back now the way that it is, and you see that draft day board unfolding. It makes it even more significant that the Rams took Jason Smith.
This is a young man's game. And it always has been, and it always will, because it's such a physical game. The fan falls in love with players, and I understand what the Trey Thomas thing is. First of all, he's from Florida. Second of all, he's from Florida State. So he's got a fan base right there. Thirdly, he is a fantastic person.
Good guy.
And an exceptionally bright and conversive guy. There's no way you would ever not root for this guy. But he's been in the league a long time, and you know that whatever you get out of him or Torrey Holt, it's going to be limited and it's going to be brief. Right, Jeff?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to have a lot more Eugene Monroes and Edmund Brittons than you have Trey Thomas's and Torrey Holt Holt's for the obvious reason. And this team's got them. This team's got good young players. This is a great draft class. Not a good one, a great one.
And I go back to draft day. The Rams don't take him, number two, which is probably where he fit.
And we should go there, by the way, on that one.
And then, so Jason Smith's not really doing that well in St. Louis.
Right now he's a bust.
And Andre Smith has a broken foot in Cincy. So draft day looks even more fortuitous for this franchise.
Yeah, and the guy that's doing well is Michael Oher. O'Hare?
Or.
Yeah. Okay. Supposedly he's looking very good.
Talented guy. All right, folks, we need a break here at the top of the hour. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart. Once you go, you get it. You get news next here on News Talk Radio. WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back. Did you take another pain pill?
You're on fire.
Because you are smiling big.
Season opening week. I love it.
I'm going to start spiking your drink every Wednesday at about 5:30.
That's for later.
All right, folks, you can join us, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-NFL-1.
If there's one week of the year that Vic is giddy,
this is it.
Okay, without drugs, it's the kickoff weekend in the National Football League, and it's a great week. There's some great matchups. I'm looking forward to that Thursday night game. That's going to be a heck of a ball game.
Steelers and Titans, in case you've forgotten, tomorrow night, folks.
Heck of a ball game.
Yeah, and then that's a nice tradition they've started there with that Thursday night game.
It is.
The league's done a great job. I hate training camp. I hate the preseason. I hate the preseason more than a stomach virus. I just abhor it.
No, you don't.
I hate it.
You know what? Your comments are similar to what mine used to be when I was playing. I hated training camp, but you know you still loved it because you knew it was around the corner. And it was one of those necessary evils you just dealt with, and you're the same way. You're no different.
And I hate final cuts because, I mean, this was painful this weekend because they cut the roster and then it's to cut it some more, and then I cut it some more. And I mean, next thing you know, hey, just give me a call when you're done, all right?
Since you're there.
Well, and it was painful because, you know, you lost a couple guys that, you know,
everyone
you're good,
liked.
You know, I think everybody's friends with Joe Zelenka.
Everyone in Jacksonville feels like they're friends with Joe Zelenka.
You know, so I'm going to invite.
Most famous long snapper in NFL history?
What's that?
Is he the most famous long snapper?
Well, I can tell you this. He was a long snapper longer than any for any team I've ever covered. I mean, I've never covered a guy who was a long snapper for more than a few years. I had one from your neck of the woods, Kendall Gammon.
Oh, yeah, from Pittsburgh State.
Pittsburgh State in Kansas.
Pittsburgh without an H.
That's right.
By the way.
And he was in the league forever. But I, you know, I had him for a few years where I was covering. And I had Turk.
Matt Turk? Dan Turk.
Dan Turk. Matt Turk was the brother.
The punter, right.
And this was Dan Turk, the snapper.
Dan had that one really bad snap.
Oh,
for
yes.
The Redskins,
yes.
Against the Buccaneers.
Yes.
In the playoffs.
Yeah. I had him for a while. He was in the league forever.
Dan just passed last year, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, he did.
Yeah.
Really handsome guy. Oh, Dan Turk. Oh, yeah.
He was what?
Handsome guy. He had babes everywhere, man. I'm sure he wasn't.
We've had fashion, and now we have Vic ranking a man's looks.
I said he had babes everywhere.
No, you said he was handsome.
Before he got married. He never got married.
We're argumentative tonight, aren't we?
Oh, Jeff's he's killing me here.
He is all over
and,
you.
But no, Joe, 8 years. I mean, 8 freaking years of long snapping in one place. I mean, it's unheard of. If they had a...
Trey Junkin, I think, had one heck of a streak when he snapped. Snapped for the Seattle Seahawks for like 15 years or something.
And then he had one bad roll at the end of his.
He had a really bad one.
For the Giants out in San Francisco for that playoff game.
Jim Otto stayed a long snapper for a long time after Dave Dalby took the job from him, but he was a Hall of Fame center before
Absolutely.
He ever was a specialist. But one more, just wanted to say, if there was ever a long snapper... Hall of Fame, special teams Hall of Fame, and there isn't, thank God. But if there ever was, Joe's in it.
He's great.
That was just have to invite him hunting.
Did you know that he knew before the game that he was gone?
Yeah. I heard afterwards that he knew. I didn't know before.
From what I understand, I don't know if I should be saying this or not, but what the heck, I'm going to say it anyhow. The head coach had a long, heartfelt, emotional conversation with him that afternoon. You know, he felt awful. And gave Joe that closure. And then Joe decided to, you know, dress out one more time. He's a great guy.
Good guy.
Still is. Hate to hear people talk about him in past tense, but I've heard it from folks.
But, yeah, no, he didn't die. He's now on with his life's work, which is great stuff. But, the other guy, Jeremy Kane, a little faster with the snap, a little sharper, you know.
Yep.
That's what it's all about.
A little younger, a little better coverage. I wouldn't say faster with the snap.
Let's grab a couple phone calls, folks. Let's go to Mario, who joins us now. Hello, Mario.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
I have a quick question, I guess. I mean, after Final Cuts last weekend, I mean, I was looking at, you know, Jaguars message boards and such. And everybody, I mean, every time there's a cut for a free agent, everybody just goes and says that it's a big mistake for the organization and whatnot. I mean, I personally have a lot of trust in what Gene Smith is doing right now.
Give me an example, because I'm not sure I know what you mean. Give me an example.
Well, for example, everybody was saying, you know, Joe Zelenka shouldn't have been let go,
right, okay.
Because he never botched a snap or whatnot.
Uh-huh.
But
Jeremy Kane is certainly, he's facing a lot of pressure.
He's proven. But he's
but I'm saying, did Joe ever botch a snap here? He had one or two 1 year, didn't he? He had
a couple of high snaps.
You guys know in Mario, a few years ago, there was a guy that was on the practice squad as a long snapper, and Joe almost lost a job then.
That guy stayed in the league.
He's in Tampa.
He's in Tampa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so have there ever been any free agents that have been let go in the Jack Del Rio era that you've actually have thought that it was a mistake to have them let go?
That's a great question.
It really
That's
is.
A great question. It's what you're asking is they ever have they ever let anyone go and he's done something somewhere else? You know,
Jack Del Rio era.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to give some thought to that.
Marlon McCree.
Oh yeah, but he bounced around Houston, then San Diego.
Yeah, but I mean, he was a good football player.
Yeah, but I mean,
wherever he went, he started.
Okay, but no grotesque mistakes.
No, no, no.
Where a guy went on, for instance, let's Johnny Unitas. All right, no Johnny Unitases.
No.
Unitas was cut.
No, I don't. I can't think
we're
of anything.
Yeah,
to
we're
come
struggling
to mind.
Right now to
Glenn Dawson was cut. These kinds of cases where they went on to Hall of Fame careers. No, this coaching staff under Jack Del Rio had done, because it's now Gene Smith's responsibility, but they had done a very good job of cutting the roster for 6 years.
Well, two names that everyone knows, Brian Williams, Tony Paschos, are either of those players in San Francisco or Atlanta likely to give the Jaguars a little indigestion?
No.
I don't think so. I mean, no. I mean, that's not even a think. It's a no. But, you know, the one thing I will say, you know, there's been a lot of free agent acquisitions that have been disappointing. Brian Williams does not fall into that category. I think Brian Williams provided exactly what this team needed over the last couple of years. I still think he's got something left in the tank. And I respect General Manager Gene Smith for that situation. I mean, obviously, the pay level of those players didn't meet the pay level of where they were going to be paid. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
And I guess it was asked of these guys to take a pay cut, and a lot of times that can be viewed as, well, they're not going to do that. They won't do it. It's a bluff. And Gene was, I guess, true to his word. And he said, you know, this is what we're offering, and if it's, you know, if it's not good for you, then we got to let you go. And I think that establishes precedent going forward. And because I think agents will know when Gene Smith comes to them and says, hey, we want your guy to take a pay cut, they will understand that there's no bluff involved.
Yeah, and I understand why they didn't take the pay cut, because if you're going to have your pay cut, you might as well pick the team who's going to cut your pay. You know what I mean? You might as well get something out of it. So what Brian Williams did was he is getting, from what I understand, a little bit more than the Jaguars were going to reduce him to, and he's with the Atlanta Falcons, who are coming off a playoff year and are expected to be back in the playoffs this year.
And it's a familiar situation
with
Mike Smith and a defense that he played in for a lot of years.
And Tony Paschos' case, he got a little bit more money, and he can eat at the Spinnaker.
And he gets to reunite with his offensive line coach.
Once the state of California gets it, it's not going to be a little bit more money.
But he can still eat at the Spinnaker.
What is that?
I think he's got enough money that he can afford
it. It's a great restaurant. You get down to Sausalito. You go over the Golden Gate
we're
Bridge.
We're going to food reviews now.
Through the tunnel. Yeah. Well, you can do these two now. Who are you fooling? You can do them as well as any man in America.
Turn his mic off. I'm heard enough of his
Jeff,
crap tonight.
Jeff can do it as well as anyone when it comes to the food.
I wasn't going to get into this. This is
but now
not
that you're
a
there.
Good week for you to be taking shots based on your alma mater's performance on
bad.
Saturday.
I owned up, Vic. I did.
He did.
Jaguars all access, okay? I did own up to the fact that the William & Mary Tribe is a much more superior football team than the Virginia Cavaliers.
Wow.
They worked them.
Who's next, VMI?
Can we go back to the
maybe.
Food? Maybe. Can we go back to the food, the Spinnaker, Sausalito?
Oh, it's fabulous. You ever been here?
I've never been to the Spinnaker. I've been to Sausalito, though.
It's right next to, it's right off Angel Island, yep. And you look at downtown San Francisco and Alcatraz, too, and it's just a fabulous restaurant, and that's where Tony is. It's a real nice place, folks.
And we will leave it at that. We'll head to a break. More to come. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. On News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Fireworks exploding around us, folks. Vic is on fire. It's nice to see you.
Season opener.
Oh, yeah. Look, if
going
anybody,
up there, we're going to beat them damn Colts. We're going to beat their brains in.
I'm just going to give you a warning right now. Nobody say the T word tonight, right? You leave the T word alone, you'll be fine. You bring the T word into this thing,
what's
you
the
were T-word?
Toast.
The T word. First and last name. We'll leave it at that.
What's the T word?
No. We don't need to go there. Just go. Just get to the phones. Get Vic focused on something else.
All right. I bet Josh in Arlington knows what the T word is.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Oh, I know what the T word is.
Yeah, I'm calling regards to Kevin. I'm part of the same group. We created a Twitter page, so you can follow our updates. It's twitter.com, RT Martown. Right now, we're planning on going out Friday, probably about 4:30 to maybe 8 o'clock on Southside Atlantic, holding up signs, trying to get rallies going so people can get, you know, tickets in. A lot of people just, you know, want more information, and that's what we're here for.
Good stuff.
God bless you.
All right. Good stuff.
RT Martown, let's do this.
I'm with you because I'd really like to work here for a while.
Let's keep the Jags in here.
Thanks, Josh.
Always spoil it. Thank you for what you're doing. Saving Vic's job. 355 NFL1. Bill's on the south side. Hello, Bill.
Hi, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First a comment. I wish Trey Thomas was feeling good because I sure would prefer him, the wily veteran, against the wily veteran Freeney. But my question has to do with the reason for keeping just four running backs. That seems like an awfully low number,
good
and
question.
I'll take your answer off the air.
Good question.
And it's easy. I can explain it very easily. First of all, there's an extra running back in a practice squad, so you really don't have four running backs. You got four, and the running back that you would deactivate would deactivate on Sunday on your practice squad. So he's with you.
Who are you saying that's on practice?
Well, Josh Vaughn was, but he was replaced today. Come to think of it,
by Kennard Lang. Kennard Lang. Said that
by Kennard Cox. So they don't have the fifth running back in a practice squad, but they'll do it. I mean, they're going to be reshaping the practice squad all the time. They're going to use it as a reservoir for their active roster, which is how almost everybody's using it nowadays. But this team has a couple situations. First of all, let's go to tight end. There are four tight ends.
Miller's not ready yet.
Miller's not ready. When Miller's ready to go, now, you know, I think Ernest sees the handwriting on the wall. I think Ernest knows that for right now, he is Zach Miller. But when Zach Miller is ready to play again, they're only going to need one of them. I mean, Ernest is a pro. He knows what this is all about. So these guys know what they're doing with the roster. They know where their injuries are. They know where players are returning. They know the roles and how they're going to use guys. Certainly, Greg Jones is a second running back, and he's more than a fullback. They might be sending, maybe they're sending some other messages. Maybe they have some H-back plans,
They do have another running back on the roster along those lines. Brock Bolin's on the roster.
Brock Bolin. He's the guy in the practice squad. Brock Bolin isn't just a fullback. He was a feature back at Louisville. He can catch. He can run. So, don't worry about that. They are not going to shortchange themselves.
But I mean, when you look at it, you say, wow, that's not a good number. I mean, I agree with you on game day. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
As long as you've got some guys on the practice squad that you can go to.
Right.
But, it is something that stands out. Just like when you look at the Colts depth chart, they've got only four wide receivers. Wait a minute. The Colts only have four wide receivers?
Well, Dallas Clark's a receiver.
Mm. Yeah, but it mm-hmm. stands out. I mean, you're talking about Peyton Manning, one of the most prolific passers in NFL history, and he's only got four wide receivers on his roster.
Well, one of the things this team had to do was go – They had to give themselves a cushion on their offensive line until they got themselves reshaped. They obviously they're not satisfied with their guard situation. Obviously. I mean, Vince, we don't know where his knee is. Forney comes up, and Uche looked like he was taking the job, and now Mo Williams is in. That right guard thing is completely up in the air, and we're not absolutely sure that Vince is ready to go 16 games, right?
No, I mean, you don't know until you actually get there. But he has made great progress in the preseason, but he's still got a little bit to go.
He's going to be challenged to hold up a whole four quarters on artificial turf.
It's not that old turf, so it's a little different. But fortunately, he doesn't come out of the gate and go up against an Albert Haynesworth. The Colts defensive front is not exactly, a brick wall.
Can Jordan Black play guard?
I think Jordan Black can play probably anywhere but center.
Okay. So you got Jordan Black, Forney, Uche, Mo, Vince. That's five guards. Is Cameron Stevenson still on? He's on the practice squad. Okay, so there's six. They've really given themselves a lot of guards here.
Yeah, but some of these guys have, the ability to play tackle.
There's two positions on this team that I get the impression this team is not satisfied with what they have. Guard and free safety. I mean, they keep claiming guards and safeties.
Or signing, in the case of veteran
They're
guys.
Not just claiming, signing, yeah. Yes.
I don't think that's pretty obvious.
By the end of the season, we could see all new at both places.
Maybe.
You could have Forney and Brian Russell as your starters before long.
I think Forney is going to be the starter sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
3-5-5.
He's a good football player now, NFL real one. Physical player.
He was an alternate to the Pro Bowl just a few years ago when he was with Atlanta.
Well, you remember when he had his success in Atlanta was when Dan Reeves was there, and it was Jamal Anderson, and they were the Dirty Birds, I guess, at that point, or soon after that, and they were running the football with great success.
One other thing I want to talk about before we go to the break. I tell you what, go ahead and go to the callers, well, because someone might touch on it.
All right. Well, we'll go to Alex, who's in Mandarin then. Hello, Alex.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about the tackle position. You have two rookies starting. I understand the Trey Thomas thing, but you have two rookies starting the season in very important position. And I cannot think of another instance where a team has started two rookies and maybe 49ers in 81 starting running Lott and Eric Wright, but those positions were not as crucial as I think starting to tackle two rookie tackles. And where does that put the Jaguars? Where do you think that puts the Jaguars?
Well, just to touch on the historical note to it, in 1995, the Jaguars started two rookie tackles after the fourth game.
That's right.
Right after the Green Bay game when Tony Boselli
returned. Only because Tony was hurt.
Otherwise, they would have.
Right. DeMarco and Tony.
And so Boselli didn't make his debut. Actually, it was the third game that he made his debut.
No. It was the Packers game.
That was the third game.
No, it was
the fourth game.
Jets, Cincinnati, and Oilers. Where they played first.
Right. So it was the fourth game that he made his debut.
You know,
but other than that, Brian Robinson went looking for this piece of information. Mm-hmm. It's not something that people keep stats on.
No. What's the caller's name?
Alex.
Okay, Alex.
Yes.
This is a rebuilding year. This is not like last year. This is not a team that is being picked to go to the Super Bowl. I think we all need to embrace that this is a year in which young players are going to be allowed to establish their careers, root their futures. And there are going to be some setbacks. There are going to be some losses. And that's the only way you can get better is by playing and sometimes losing.
But you know what? Along those same lines, you know, you're kind of trying to lower the expectations. And, hey,
yes.
There will be times where you're like, oh, gosh, he's really struggling. Yes, but, you know, I look at it on the brighter side of things. I think these two guys are really good football players.
They're better than what you had.
At this stage of the game. Now, I don't know if they're absolutely better than what you had right now, but with a little seasoning, I think these guys can clearly be, you know, way past where they were at. And then that's, to me, the exciting part about these two young players playing is because you can see the ability there.
And if I may add a little perspective on Sunday's game, a sports writer's perspective, hey, look, all the pressure's on Indianapolis. I mean, the Jaguars are going there with low expectations and a lot of rookies. They're all about the years after this year. But the Colts, they're at the end of the line here. I mean, they gotta, you know, win another Super Bowl, or they're going to come out of this long run with just one. I mean, they are nearing the end of their run, and if they were to get upset on Sunday, the national media will start throwing dirt on them.
355 NFL 1. Let's stay in Mandarin. James is next. Hello, James. How are you tonight?
Great, Ryan. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call. Three points, and I'll make them real quick. The first one, Vic, you had me in stitches when you had the guy believing that they were actually installing a shade at the stadium.
A shade machine.
Yeah, and he wrote back to, yeah, when's this going to be up? I got 100 friends that'll go. It's just very funny stuff.
Are you serious, Clark?
What's that?
Are you serious, Clark? You know what that's from?
Yes, no,
Vacation.
I don't.
Did you ever see the movie Christmas Vacation?
Oh, man, Vic can quote it on.
You know, Clark Griswold is telling the kids, hey, kids, you know, an airplane pilot saw Santa Claus, and
yeah,
and Eddie says, "You serious, Clark?"
Okay, that's very funny stuff. Secondly, I like our chances in Indy. Like you said, Colts are on the downside, and we have zero expectations. I expect a better pass rush and certainly an improved wide receiving core. And the last thing is, who's quarterbacking the Titans this week? Is it Vince Young or Kerry Collins?
No, it's Collins.
Up here.
Yeah.
Collins.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the division when we come back from the news.
We can do that.
And many more things. We'll take your calls, questions, comments. One more half hour of Jaguars this week. On News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato. And some callers still on the line, but there is room for you. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Should we go back real quick, backwards, just to stroll in the park? John joins us from Mandarin. Hello, John.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Good.
Earlier you were talking about Joe Zelenka, and I felt it would be remiss if I didn't call and speak one last time about my favorite player, Joe. 7 years ago, I started a fan club for him. At that time, I kind of viewed him as a funny guy, as a long snapper, and he needed some fans. And over the years, he really grew on me as he grew really on the whole Jacksonville community. And if you weren't aware, the last game, you know, he was on the sidelines the whole time, and after the game, he came to me and he threw up his helmet to me, and it was signed already. You know, John, thanks for the memories, Joe Z. And I really kind of thought it was kind of a thank you to all of his fans over the years. You know, for every way of support him. And Jeff, one thing you said a number of years ago, and I'll leave it at that. About Joe, and I tell people to this day, you know, if there were more Joe Zelenkas in the world would be a better place.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. Well, you got to start a fan club for somebody else now.
I think I'm done with that. There's only one Joe Z.
No, you're right. You know, and you know what though, the bad part is that Joe is not going to be snapping for the Jaguars, and I don't know if he's going to stay here in the community or not. But if he does, he's going to be able to get a little hunting in, because I know Joe is an avid hunter, and the cool thing about Joe is
you're fighting hard.
We share a common interest. Okay, we both like to hunt. The guy, I'm telling you, he gets on the plane, and I love to go visit him on the plane every week because he's got a little portable DVD player, and he has all the latest and greatest hunts that he is watching constantly on the road trips.
Wow,
I'm gonna miss him.
Kind of kills this show.
You know, I hope Joe's listening because he would be laughing his butt off right now.
How much money do you think he made in his career?
Oh, Joe.
Let's talk about what really counts.
Joe did well.
A couple million bucks.
Joe Easy. Did well.
I mean, I'm
10 years in the NFL?
I think I'll wipe away the tears, won't
I? Yeah, I would think he's fine. He's got a beautiful wife, a couple of great kids. Life is good for him.
Do you think he waved as he left town?
He's going to end up somewhere this year.
Yeah, I would imagine he would.
Maybe even back here.
He's still got a house. His in-laws live right behind him. So, I mean, I think, look, he made his name here. I mean, he may be from Ohio, but he's got people that love him here, like John.
Yeah.
And us. We love Joe.
I don't know where to go now. I don't feel like we can go forward.
You okay?
Comfortable
for you? Need a minute? Need to take a break?
Let's talk about Tebow.
There you go. See, don't even do that.
Starting to fight. Do you have some Tebow music?
Golly.
No, we're going to have to come up with something.
See, Vic.
We're going to have something for you.
I like Ponder.
The floor's taken.
Oh, I loved him.
Oh,
I thought he looked great.
Up now.
That's who they should draft. There we go. They kicked the poop out of Charleston Southern. I'm going to tell you. You ain't ever seen a butt kicking like that in your life. They'll teach him to come down here again.
Ponder didn't win. Tebow did.
I know. Of course, there's a little difference between Charleston Southern and Miami. Couldn't they get the whole Charleston? Why did they have to pick just half of it? Couldn't they get the northern part in, too? I mean, that would have given them a better game if they could have got all of Charleston.
I don't know where to go now. I don't feel like we can go forward.
He was good, and he had a deep ball dropped early in the game. It could have been 89-3.
So you watched the game?
I did. I watched the whole thing. What was it, 82-3?
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
If that ball hadn't been dropped, I mean, it'd have been 89. Or they're going for two. They could have gone for two, made it 90.
You're terrible.
Do you know, remember the old Woody Hayes line, why'd you go for two?
Couldn't go for three.
Because I couldn't go for three.
Ah.
That's the greatest line of all.
Oh, we need a commercial break in the worst way. Okay.
Games of the week.
I want to talk about McCown, too.
Let's do that now. Let's talk about McCown.
Let's do that now.
Since we're on the quarterback thought anyway.
I'm kind of dumbfounded that there's any kind of criticism at all for that McCown trade. I told Gene Smith, I said, Gene, it would really be advantageous if somehow that was to leak out before next spring what round you traded,
because
mm-hmm. because that all that
undisclosed
all that thick pen stuff had people thinking third round and fourth round. This isn't a third rounder, right? This is a really low pick.
You know what it is?
Ooh, it's really low.
And you're not gonna
can't do it.
It can only be so low.
Like yeah,
eighth round pick.
It's not that low.
Sixth round pick.
It's a little lower. I mean, would you pick McCown? You know, would you use that pick on McCown?
Yes.
Yes, you would, and you would be delighted in what you got.
Well, if you talk to anybody, they are thrilled with what they got. They're really happy with this kid.
I know that they said that
it's
everything
fantastic.
That he's done since he's got here, they're very excited.
I mean, Gene walked these guys down for a long time, you know. I mean, they were talking trade earlier, and they wanted too much, and then too much, and then too much, and he took them right down to the nub. And you have to create competition at every position. And you couldn't do that with Cleo Lemon because he didn't have the arm to put any kind of to pose any kind of a threat to David Garrard. And you couldn't do it with Bauman because he was too old to pose any kind of a threat. Luke McCown is a guy that if he's playing the same position as you, you look at him and you see that you have to be on top of your game.
I know that from our perspective, when we watched the Jaguars play the Buccaneers here,
we thought he was the better quarterback.
He was the better quarterback that day. And he had a higher quarterback rating than Leftwich did in the preseason, but they still went with Byron, I guess, because of what they saw in OTAs and in practice and stuff and the experience.
But
I like the signing.
That the Buccaneers fired their offensive coordinator because he put up a stink about McCown not getting the starting job.
Yeah.
Jagosinski.
Yeah.
Well, he must be a goofball.
Yeah. Well,
he makes enemies everywhere he goes.
He was at BC, and then he left to interview for the Jets job, and that was about that.
I forgot to ask Byron if he liked him or not. I'll bet he didn't.
Yeah, well, he's not there anymore, so he didn't have to worry about that.
But, you know, last year, this team went into last year's draft. You want me to quit now, Joe?
Go finish your thought.
Give me the break, son.
No, he's giving that to me. You're just paying attention. Go ahead.
Last year, this team went into the draft with 11 picks, right?
Yes.
And they now have two guys left. From 11 picks, they have two guys left on their roster, Harvey and Groves.
Oh, okay. You're talking about draft class.
They traded, you know, all these picks to move around.
Players.
I mean, here's a classic case where you trade a low pick and you come away with a player and you truly believe that he's going to be on your roster for an extended
Contract details of Luke McCown. What's the deal there?
Well, I don't think he's anything pricey.
No, no. I mean, how many years? Okay, is he on a one year left on his deal?
I don't know that, but it wouldn't matter because this team's got oodles and oodles of cap room, and he's not likely to be given a chance to get pricey. I think he's going to establish himself this year as this team's true backup quarterback for the long term, you know, for next year, with a chance to compete for, you know, compete to for a starting job. Although you can't say that, but I mean, I think it's always implied. It's always there. And I think he's going to establish that, and I think he's going to be the kind of quarterback that you feel good to have as a backup, because you know he's young enough to be a long-term backup. Now, all you got to do, draft a guy next year, and quarterback has been fixed.
Let's take a break. 355 NFL 1. One more segment to this rowdy show this evening. Here on News Talk Radio, WOKV, depend on it.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Joe hit the wrong button. We all make mistakes. Vic, go easy on him now. I know you demand perfection. Your mic's not on.
It isn't?
Yeah, no,
there we go.
Thanks, Joe.
But you can always turn it off.
We can always count on you to be on top of your game, Joe.
You can always turn it off. This radio show, that's what it is, brought to you by Just X Watches. You can pick up your Just X watch, the exclusive Jewelers Espling.
If Eugene Monroe blocks Dwight Freeney, the way you've pushed those buttons tonight, we'll bring David Garrard home in a box.
Why should anybody be exempt tonight, Joe? You know, I mean, it's just all rolling downhill from that seat. Let's grab John in Ponte Vedra. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I actually did a little. I looked up the contract of McCown in the last few minutes. From what I understand, he signed an extension this last February. It was a 2-year, $7.5 million deal, but it's only $5 million for us because they already gave away the. They've already paid the $2.5 million guaranteed signing bonus.
Well, outstanding! So all you owe is the salary. That's great. I mean, what a great deal! What a great trade. You know, if they had waited, to get him, if they had waited until the Bucks cut him, this is what they would have been up against. He'd been unrestricted, right?
Yep.
Okay, so then you would have then got into a bidding war with anybody else who wanted him, and he may have decided that playing somewhere else would. Isn't he a West Coast guy?
Texas, Jacksonville,
okay,
Texas.
All right, he might have decided that he liked Houston better. If they were interested, I'm not saying they would have, but yeah, they have need for a backup, don't they?
They got Rex Grossman.
They have need for a backup. Although they paid him some money, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they still might be.
Well, I mean, so if you had waited, if you hadn't pulled the trigger on this trade, you would have risked having to, you would have had to bid against somebody for his services. For what they spent to get him, this isn't a good deal. This is a great deal.
Yeah, and of course it's a conditional pick. So I think doesn't it scale all the way down to a sixth rounder if he doesn't play much?
Oh, no! It's not that high.
Oh, so a seventh condition? You know,
oh, I can't say that.
Okay. It's not that high, but it's maybe a seventh. We'll see about that. Anyway, I also wanted to talk about the four running back deal. I think that they decided that they liked Montel Owens better as a runner than they did Chauncey Washington.
Well,
I think they actually.
How many? They got Maurice Jones-Drew, Greg Jones, Montel Owens, and Rashad James. Okay, Owens is a special teams guy who can run with the ball. I mean, they got four runners, and Brock Bowen's on the practice squad. They're fine, right?
Yeah. I think they're fine. It's just a matter of, much like the quarterback position, you know, you'd like to have a little depth there,
mm-hmm.
and a guy that you know that he can carry the load.
Plus, you've had Josh Vaughn. He's not likely to sign anywhere soon. I mean, you could always pull him back, and Chauncey Washington is unsigned, right?
I don't know the answer to that.
I thought he signed somewhere.
Okay.
To find that one out.
I mean, they've got no... Don't get blown away on the numbers.
Appreciate the phone call, John. 355-NFL-1. Brian is near the Intracoastal Waterway. Hello, Brian.
Hi. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. I got a question for you. With the Jaguars opening a new chapter in their history, their book of history, why was Rob Meyer put on IR rather than waived, and why is Trey Thomas, with a back injury and a lengthy career, still on the roster?
Well, you couldn't. I'll beat Jeff to the punch on this one, because you can't waive a guy until he's either healthy or you have to waive him injured. Now, I think they want some time with Rob to know, what the situation is with him. But I mean, they could waive him injured.
Two things could be there because he's on injured reserve. Either he's hurt really bad, okay, and the injury would have required a season long payment,
mm-hmm.
or he's hurt not to that extent, but they want to have him available for next year.
Does he have a split contract? That's the first.
I don't know that.
First thing we have to know.
I'd be very surprised if he did.
They really don't do that with the veterans, do they? I thought that was with rookies.
Oh, is that right?
They could do it with anybody, any agent that would agree to it, or a player that would agree to it. I mean, there's nobody that they can't do it with, but a guy in Rob's position, I don't believe, would have agreed to a split contract.
I would doubt it, too. But see, those are the questions we'd have to ask before we could answer your question.
If he did have a split contract, his agent should have been fired.
That's correct.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, he's a player of some renown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Leo's at the beach. Hello, Leo.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just want to make this a quick question. Can you predict the success of Mike Sims-Walker and Terrence Knight for the Jaguars this season? Yeah, I'll take it off the air. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think Terrence Knight is a fantastic addition. I mean, in the preseason, if you looked at the two players who I think played at the highest level out of all the rookies, I'd have to say that Terrence Knight would be one, and Eben Britton would probably be two. And then I think Eugene Monroe, limited camp, limited snaps, going into the games, would be three. That doesn't mean that that's where it's going to end up. But I think, really, Terrence Knight is a fantastic football player.
This week, a year ago, Terrence Knight was preparing to play Army. Now he's appears to be, frankly, the Jaguars' best defensive lineman. Heading into their season opener, that's the kind of read I'm getting.
He's
from
pretty
you.
Good. He's really good.
So the next time you think that you can't find football, that you don't find football players where you find football players, remember Terrence Knight and Derek Cox, Temple and William Emery.
Hey, by the way, when you look at Terrence Knight,
mm-hmm.
he does not look as big as he plays.
Thick guy. His through the calves, through the legs. I mean,
his
lower body is really.
Folks, watch him against Jeff Saturday. Okay, kind of a wily veteran. He will toss Saturday around all day. He's that good.
Saturday tossed around on Sunday.
On Sunday. And that's what I think is going to happen.
I agree.
Now, as far as Mike Sims-Walker, I mean, gosh, if he can continue to do what he did last week, whew, look out.
Yeah,
But the history shows he's been hurt. We'll see. Just like Troy. We'll
what
see.
You saw against Washington last Thursday?
Thursday night.
Okay. Is what we have seen in OTAs especially for 3 years. I mean, this guy just makes these diving backyard catches, all over the place, and you keep saying, wow, if he can just do that on the field. And then I kept hearing people talk about that great game he had against the Steelers here. I don't remember a great game. I remember some catches, but he didn't have a great game. Thursday night, he had against the Redskins, he had a great game. He was making the kind of catches that a star receiver makes.
How many active wide receivers do you guys think on game day? You got six on the roster.
Okay.
Five.
I think it comes down to Ernest, whether he's active or not. That's what we don't know. If they activate Ernest, that's three tight ends. If they don't activate but he's in effect a wide receiver's tight end, so that's
it's gonna be interesting to watch.
Probably five.
Yeah,
ooh,
I think five too. Because Mike Thomas is a return guy.
Okay, if it's five, okay, if it's four, who's down? Let me ask you that. Jarrett Dillard and Mike Thomas?
No, because he's their screen, bubble screen, and all that kind of stuff guy.
I'm looking forward to seeing this
yeah,
active.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question.
All right, guys.
Chart on game day.
Have a great night. Thanks for joining us, folks. Appreciate it.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.